Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, April the 5th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 48, the second paragraph, The Practical Individual of Today. And we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Pam M., the 12 Traditions, Joanne L., and the readers of the text are Mary B., Laura R., and Shelley E. The share ID for Sunday, April the 4th, was yesterday. Sunday Special Edition is 16,702. That is 16702. And for this morning's meeting, 7 a.m., Monday, April the 5th is 16,706. That's 16706. Our newcomer greeter today is Lorraine N., and the announcements person is Leslie M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Pam. Can't hear you, Pam.
Good morning. I'm having technical difficulties here.
Okay, thank you.
My toddler just got into something here, so okay. Here we go. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot
change.
Yes. Okay. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Yeah. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice this principle in all our affairs. And thank you so much for your patience. I pass.
And thank you very much, Pam M. Now I will ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Joanne. Oops, we still have little one on the phone. Okay, Joanne, press star 1. To unmute.
Okay, here we go. I guess we're all
there.
Having
you
problems.
Are. Yeah.
Good, Good morning, everybody. This is Joanne Nell from Rhode Island, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and a pleasure to always do service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirements for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
And thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 48, the second paragraph down, and that paragraph begins with the practical individual of today. And I am now going to ask Mary B. to get us started. Good morning, Mary.
Can you hear me, Mo?
I can. Loud and clear.
Very good. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. The practical individual of today is a stickler for facts and results. Nevertheless, the 20th century readily accepts theories of all kinds, provided they are firmly grounded in fact. We have numerous theories, for example, about electricity. Everybody believes them without a murmur of doubt. Why this ready acceptance? Simply because it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. So this morning, this first sentence really hit me between the eyes. The practical individual today is a stickler for facts and results. Well, before I came to program, what were the facts? And I was always looking for the results, right? I thought to myself, well, I'm going to try this new diet. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to lose X amount of pounds. Everything's going to be all right. And then once the diet is over, I'll be able to go back to my usual overeating habits. I'll be able to have some of whatever it is I want to have, whatever sugary treat I want to have. And the fact of the matter is, I was wrong. I was proven wrong time and time and time and time again. Because whenever I was on the diet, doing the diet, going through the motions of being on a diet, in my mind, all that was always going on, because you know it's all about me, you know, is when am I going to get the next bite? When can I have my next bowl of ice cream or whatever? Because believe me, it was a constant going on up in there, constantly obsessing. And now I'm getting tears in my eyes. I'm grateful today that I know better. I know that that's not the way it is. That's the fact. The fact of my life is I have a disease. I am a compulsive overeater. If I put any of those things, any of those items in my mouth today, it's going to trigger an allergic reaction in my body. I'm not going to be able to stop. My obsessive mind is going to tell me, go ahead, Mary, have some more. It's okay. And the 80 pounds I lost over almost 4 years ago is going to be back on, plus more. I'm not going to want to be listening to A Vision for You. I don't want to call no sponsors. I don't want to read no big books with anybody. I'll probably be burning my big book. You know what I'm saying? It's a brand new day. And now I am getting tears in my eyes. It's a brand new day for me. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater thanks to the members on this line. I've been listening to Vision for almost 4 years come June. I am so eternally grateful because I thought I was going to have to go on to the bitter end living this miserable life of compulsive overeating that almost ruined my life. That's all I got for today. Can't wait to hear your shares, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Mal. Pass.
And thank you, Mary B., for getting us started with a powerful share. Thank you. And so let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 48, the second paragraph down, the practical individual of today. And, Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, please give me your name to share on this paragraph. Don't be shy.
Joanne B.
Joanne B.
Kathleen O.
Good morning, Kathleen O.
Sylvia VG.
Hi, Sylvia.
Jenna B.
Hey. VG. Who was that after Sylvia?
Jenna B.
Jenna. Your last initial, was it B, Jenna?
Yeah, B as in boy.
Okay, thank you.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Being so good to me this morning. I love it. All right, we'll go with those. Joanne B., Kathleen O., Sylvia VG, Jenna B., and Deborah G. And please give us the name of your state when you announce yourself. Thank you. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line. This is Joanne B. from Texas, recovered one day at a time, and gratefully for that. I realize at this point I'm still pretty much in I'm just now going into the step two, right? And so at this place in the book. And for me, I was always thinking about when that next meal would be. And you know, we're talking about why we should believe in a power greater than ourselves. For me, I had a power, but apparently I didn't have a strong enough power that would take care of this obsession. And so through my fellows in this program And through this, taking these steps, I've learned a tool, a way to change that thinking and to catch it, to recognize it. And, you know, I've already at this place put my food down and those things that harm me and have me go into that allergy. And so what's real interesting, and I'm glad some people will say this, is I noticed there are times when, I mean, I thought that this obsession would just leave. As soon as I went through the 12 steps, you know, I would be finished. And matter of fact, I even said that to my sponsor. You know, I was just like, I got 3 months. I'm out of school for the summer, so let's get this on the road. And that's not what happened. And, you know, we all know the truth. It's life of change. And so I still get these obsessive thoughts. And I just thank my higher power because it shows me more and more I'm exactly where I need to be. And that I get to go to, you know, continue to do these steps, continue to use these things and to use my fellows to help me through the real life that's happening that might cause that. I don't understand all of how our brain works, but and then my thinking is so nutty at times that I don't understand at all. But I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to have all of you. I'm grateful that I recognize your voices. I've gotten to meet a few of you. And anyway, I wouldn't be here. And I, too, have an 80-pound weight loss and have been blessed with that staying off. And it's only because of my higher power. There's nothing I can do on my own. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Sorry. Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. And next up, we have Kathleen O. And then after Kathleen, Sivia. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. I just couldn't handle that long pause. I had to put my name in. And I invite those of you who have not shared. We would love to hear what you have to say. So who are just a little reluctant to just jump in. It gets easier, trust me. So yes, Kathleen O. recovered in Northern California. And facts and results and electricity. So, you know, like Mary mentioned when she started us off this morning, the fact is, you know, when I ingest certain food items, the result would be I would eat the whole bag or box or carton of something. And that's the fact. Now, do I know why? No, not really. I just think I'm genetically wired that way, just like an alcoholic is or any other addiction. And so, like electricity, you know, the fact is, if I turn a switch on, I get power. If I pay my electrical bill, that switch will go on when I turn it on. And those are the results. If the world came to an end and I was, you know, or if most of the population died and I was one of the people that survived, I would not know how to invent electricity. We'd be going back to candles. So, but, you know, I don't really need to. It's, you know, the whole point of these steps is to obtain a relationship with a power greater than us that is going to relieve us of this crazy thinking, these crazy behaviors, relieve us of the fact that when we ingest these foods, we want more. So the key to that is just don't ingest them. But the way to keep doing that and to have a life of freedom and joy is to obtain this relationship with the higher power by working the steps. And then in 10, 11, 12, we improve that relationship. So it's not a status quo. We just get there and we stop. We continually improve that relationship because that is what keeps me sane in life. That is what, you know, allows me to solve the problems that arise day after day.
or not necessarily sell them, but just turn them over and know that everything's going to be okay. And you know what? It usually is. I haven't died yet. Nothing horrible has happened yet. I don't know why this works, getting, you know, a connection with a higher power. I just know that the result is it does work. And as long as I continue to improve on that relationship with my higher power, which can be anything I want, anything you want, as much as probably no two food plans are the same, nor is anyone's higher power the same. It's our own
time,
what works for us. And thank you, Molly Pat. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Sivia VG, and then followed by Jenna B. Good morning, Sivia.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. I'm Sivia from Northern California as well. So a sponsor who started me in Vision a few years ago, probably about 4 years ago now, told me to read that Practical Individual of Today, insert my own name. And it really affected me. You know, Sivia is a stickler for facts and results, and boy, am I. And I want facts. And I, you know, I thought that I had a higher power. I was raised, you know, I was raised in a home that we went to services regularly. We culturally did what we did. And people believe these things, this electricity or the steel beams in an atom or the atom in a steel beam, I should say, without any doubt. And so why is it difficult to understand that I am not the one who controls the universe? And that really helped me. The theory is, I think, here is that if we find a higher power, whatever that is, we will be restored to sanity if we rely on that higher power. And so for me, this paragraph in a nutshell says, okay, how can I help those people who, you know, I don't happen to be an agnostic, but there are many, many people who are food addicts who need help that are agnostic. I need to understand what's being said here and truly adopt, you know, that this higher power exists and it ain't me, in order for me to be able to be of service to those that I sponsor or I talk to on 10-step calls or outreach calls that may not have a belief in gods particularly, but may have, you know, and are still formulating whether or not they control the universe or something else greater than themselves does. So for me, this was a great thing to see. Even though I had read We Agnostics in the past, I always read it thinking, well, why am I reading this? I'm not an agnostic. So everybody believes these things without a murmur of doubt. Why this ready acceptance? Because it's impossible to explain what we feel and see and direct and use without a reasonable assumption. So you don't have to believe, you just have to be willing. And I think that's a really important differentiation. And hopefully by the time we are later in the steps, around step nine-ish, we do believe in something greater than ourselves. Thank you very much, everybody. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Sivia VG from Northern California. Jenna B, followed by Deborah G. Jenna, please tell us the state that you're from. Press star one.
I'm from Georgia.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Did we lose you, Jenna? Press star one to mute.
Oh, no. Can you hear me now?
I can. Thank you.
Did you want me to share? Or? say what state I'm from?
Yeah. Yeah, you put your name in there to share. Did you want to share?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Okay.
So I'm grateful to be here. I definitely have the allergy. I ingest way more sugary food than I need to after I take the first bite, and I can like eat that amount of a meal in sugar. And I've noticed like a lot of other things regarding my pattern in the way I eat and whatnot through a program and a therapist and finding a higher power. For me, my higher power does have to listen to reason somewhat, because I tried a higher power that like didn't have any reasoning at all, and it almost ruined my life. So I need a balance, and mindfulness and that kind of stuff doesn't have to be the higher power for other people, but it just works for me. So I'm grateful to be here and listening to this topic. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing, Jenna B. from Georgia. And before Deborah G., I want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in We Agnostics, page 48, the second paragraph down, the practical individual of today. And after Deborah, I will take some more names. Good morning, Deborah. Sorry to take a long.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Mo. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much for your service and everyone else for your service and all the shares. Thank you so much. And I was just reminiscing about how I lived in a non-reality. You know, how my thoughts weren't reality, my feelings weren't reality, my behavior wasn't reality. But I truly thought that that was reality. That was my reality. I even defended that reality with the food, all the things that I did and what I said and what I thought and the insanity. I was in insanity, the non-reality insanity that I lived. And I thought it was interesting to see. And I was like asleep, unconscious. And then it was beautiful to be awakened. And I still get awakened all the time because I can go to sleep unconscious anytime and see the reality. And when I saw the reality of what was happening with my thoughts, my feelings, and my behavior and with the food, then I found, and this is a recent concept of that power for me was reality. You know, that's where that power is, in reality. And when I'm in insanity, I'm not, you know, connected. I'm not in that reality with that power. And it's been really a huge awareness of that. And to see how I can go back asleep. But I don't go to the food because I went through the rest of the steps. So I'm just really grateful to be here. I'm glad all of you are here, and I don't have to do this alone. Thank you.
And thank you, Deborah G. And before I take more names, let me remind you where we're at. We're on page 48 in We Agnostics, the practical individual of today. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, with all those who'd like to share on this paragraph, please give me your name.
Melissa W.
Melissa W.
Laura R.
Nirvana A.
Laura R. Rhonda, was
Amy
that?
G.
Rhonda A. Amy G. So I have... Anyone else?
Mary G.
Nirvana A.
Mary G. And Nirvana.
Mary G.
Mary G. All right. Let's see if we can get you. I got Nirvana here. And Larry G. Okay. We have Melissa W., Laura R., Rhonda A., Amy G., Mary G., I think that was Mary G., Nirvana A., and Larry G. If I got your last initial wrong, please, I apologize. All right, Melissa, you're first. Melissa W., name of your state also.
Hi, Melissa W. from New York. Wow, I am so grateful to have been here to hear the connection between, first of all, everything that was said, but also the results and just the comparison to the old ways and the old definitions of results. And I've never heard that before, and that really resonated with me. And a lot of what I heard today was just like self, all the self in that, just like the way I defined everything was, how is this good for me? And, you know, what I've learned through this program is the problem is me and the solution is God. And I think the other thing I see here is I worked these steps with a sponsor in another 12-step program. She asked me to circle all the facts in there as a solution. And what I heard here is the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous, and he has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do for ourselves. And I think what I want to share is that recently, and when I say recently, like the last 7 days, I've really come to surrender to a place where there is a whole food group, which I've just never been willing to let go of. And as I've heard, it's just some place that I'm now willing. And that's just God. It's God. And so I just wanted to put that out there. And it's been a while. In a while that I've been holding on to that. So I have a lot of gratitude and thank you.
Well, thank you, Melissa W., for sharing. Laura R., followed by Rhonda A. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I first want to thank the opening reader. I just absolutely love when I hear the gratitude and humility and just the vulnerability, and when we get choked up and we start to cry about just how grateful we are to be in this program, which I so understand and can relate to. On my book, I have step two is all about open-mindedness, and I also have my stubbornness is handicapping me. And, you know, it's interesting, when I came into the rooms, I did not realize I could be open-minded at all. Like, I didn't even understand that concept. My family, I was raised where it was just like our way or the highway, or, you know, my parents' way or the highway. And so I was so defensive when someone didn't buy into what I was trying to say, you know, especially when I got married and my husband, I'm like, no, it has to be this way. I was so scared when we had opposing viewpoints. And, you know, I was thinking about reading, like when we were talking today and reading this and just thinking about the journey it's been, you know, in recovery. I have wrestled with God, and it is, God's always won, always won. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And I'm so glad I kept coming back, you know, because it's not easy. It's so confusing. And I love that I hear that we have to get rid of all of our old ideas. And it wasn't until this year that I truly understood what the heck that means. And I still am, you know, I'm a student just trying to learn one day at a time, like, there's 164 pages plus doctor opinion, and then there's more in this book. Like, this is something that I can read and study and discover and experience for the rest of my life, which is so amazing. You know, I'm just a little beginner in kindergarten, just trying to understand, but I'm so glad I just kept coming back, because I did not know. you know, and that's what I wish I understood in the beginning. I wish I said, you know what, I don't know, and I just need to have an open mind. Step two, I don't have to know or believe, or I just have to be willing to believe that there's something. And it's through, you know, and thank God we had the first step to really break down that I don't know. You know, it's just like I am screwed without buying in because all of my ideas have not worked. I mean, I've tried it all. You know, haven't we all tried it all? Like, you know, and if I haven't, you have, you know. And so it's just like, okay, I'm willing to believe in something. But it's so cool because as I walk and you know, experience these steps, I experience God and I experience myself. And I just this morning, and I'll end with this, just to sit and like, I'm starting to understand that I don't have to have the outcome. Like truly getting it from my head to my heart. Right now, our family's walking through some big stuff. And I'm just, if I can stay, and it says that all we have to have is, you know, if I can have faith, you know, day in and day out, then I'm good. And I'm just sitting in that. That's the only thing that's given me hope because it's hard. But you know what? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to these steps, you all. And, you know, one day at a time, I'm learning, I'm growing, and hopefully, you know, I don't wreck my family in the process of all this. But thank you, Mo. I get to put my big girl panties on and do this with you all. So thank you so much, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura R. from Colorado. Rhonda A., and then followed by Amy G. Good morning, Rhonda. Star one to unmute, Rhonda. Can't hear you. Okay, I can't get to Rhonda. We may have to skip over Rhonda and go to Amy G. Amy, can you bump in there?
Hi, sure. Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
My name is. Sure. I'm Amy. I'm in Asheville, North Carolina, and gratefully recovering in this program. And to be totally honest, I've been a little bit intimidated to share at this meeting because I just hear so much recovery, you know, amongst all of you guys. But this passage, I really relate to, and it definitely, you know, makes me think about step two. And that was something that just took me a while to wrap my head around personally. Like, I feel like I just have a really big underlying fear of being out of touch with reality and really in my insanity. And, you know, this concept of turning over your will and your life over to something that is beyond our five senses, that is intangible, that, you know, you can't see. And, you know, I was like, am I about to jump into the biggest conspiracy of my life? Like, is this crazy? And I'm certainly like a proof and, you know, data. I like facts. I like concrete evidence. That's just my type of personality. So I remember reading this passage and I was like, yes, like I get that. And I love the whole chapter. And to just that concept of like, you know, you really don't have to understand it, like that analogy with the electricity, and you don't have to know how it works. You just have to have some type of trust and some type of faith, and the rest works itself out. And, you know, for someone who really identifies as like a facts, data, proof, evidence type person, early on in program, I started, you know, just truly being a seeker in every aspect, including like physics and science, and trying to figure out like, what is this, you know, intelligent, creative energy that is guiding my life and other people's life? Like, what is this? And I remember coming across something that was talking about atoms, like the building blocks of pretty much everything, you know, that we can see and touch, and that, you know, the smallest unit of energy, and that an atom is actually 99.999 something percent empty space. So, you know, when we're looking at something that's built up of these different atoms, that we're actually looking at it collectively as 99.999% empty space. And that to me was just this little aha moment that there is so much unknown and that we're still figuring out and that we're still discovering. And I can go insane trying to figure all of that out. And, you know, it doesn't really help helped me, all that helps me is just believing that there is something bigger than myself and, you know, having the courage to see what life is like when I let that guide me. And I haven't been let down yet. So it's a good passage and very grateful for all of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy G. Mary G, followed by Nirvana A. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Hi, this is Mary G in Chicago, Illinois. Reading this, the first thing that comes to mind to me is, faith, having faith. We're a stickler for facts and results. And to me, the opposite of, I'm sorry, I have a child here. In a minute. Okay, just wait. So the opposite of facts is just having faith. And for me, having faith is actually, is pretty scary. And I think you need to have a lot of courage to have faith. Because, like it says, there's not much, physical evidence. But then on the other side of the coin, I feel like if you really look at it, there is. I'm at a point in my program right now where I'm really like getting deeper into this, forming a relationship with my higher power. And it's so true when the substance is out of the way, that block is out of the way, I have such a better connection with my higher power. And all of these things are so much more clear. I'm able to see just like the simple, subtle things that are gifts, I believe, from my higher power. Like, I live in Chicago. I walked outside yesterday morning. It's Easter. And it was, like, warm out, okay? It was, like, it was almost 80 degrees out. It was warm and sunny. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. Thank you, God. Like, I don't know if I would have noticed that if I were in my disease, in my substance. It's these little, simple, subtle things. And I think it all goes back to just having that courage, to having faith to be able to see these simple, little, subtle things from our higher power. That's all I got. I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary G. And next we have Nirvana A, followed by Larry G. Good morning, Nirvana.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you, everyone, for doing such a great job every morning. So I'm very grateful. I'm Nirvana A from California. And I wanted to say, I'm going to share a personal story. I was brought up in a family where God was this universal intelligence, and I had no problems with that, looking at a flower or the trees. Anything in nature, I could understand that I could not create this, not even in my wildest dreams. I could never put the colors together or anything together. And but I had problems with the personal higher power. I was like, we're being so selfish. There's so much going on, and then we want a personal higher power. So it just never resonated with me. Until one day I went to Trader Joe's, and I wanted to get this sugary, flowery stuff. And I said, okay, God, if you're real and you are personal, let's try this experiment. I want to buy this, and you avoid me from buying it. So when I walked into the store, I saw someone from OA right in front of me. And then I said, nah, that's a coincidence. So I went through the aisles, and I tried to avoid this person. And then I went to my sugary, flowery section, and they didn't have it. And I was like, this is strange. No, this is a coincidence. So I waited for that person from OA to leave, and then I told the person from Trader Joe's, can you see if you have any in the back? And then he came back and he said, oh, it's so strange, we ran out of them. And that was my first glimpse that a higher power can be personal. So I just wanted to share that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nirvana. Great story. All right, next up we have Larry G, and we may have time for one more after Larry. Good morning, Larry, my buddy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for service. My name is Larry G. I'm from California. And thank you, Mary, for kicking us off. It was a really heartfelt share. Been around a long time, but this is really the first time I've really given the attention to we agnostics. I always believed that I was a believer, arrogantly thought I was a believer. When it came to food, though, I only believed in myself, and I only believed in getting as much as I could get. I no more could manufacture electricity than I could surrender. I no more could manufacture electricity than I could staying sober on Easter. I'm not a stickler for details. I just want the results. I seek for a long time at Overuse Anonymous. Find a way to white knuckle it by using the steps, meeting sponsors, food sponsors. And I wanted the results. I wanted to be able to fit my clothes. I wanted to move around the planet with ease. I wanted to eat whatever I want with abandon and not gain weight. That was my goal. So it says here, we can't explain what we see, feel, direct, use without reasonable assumption. Today, I cannot explain to you why on May 17th, 2020, I had a complete psychological rearrangement of my thinking. I can't explain it. I can't explain infinity. I can't explain that God has no substance. There's no he's form of substance. I can't explain why the universe has no beginning and no end. And I can't explain why I've surrendered and why today I am abstinent. Maybe somebody who is a scientist, quantum physics, maybe they can explain it. I can't. Yesterday, I put out 50 plastic eggs with filled of with candy, and there were 50 plastic eggs for the kids to find. There was 2 dozen cookies. There was 2 dozen cookies available for the normies. There was a cake. I didn't eat half a cake. There's a half a cake now in the refrigerator. Last Easter, and probably the last 20 Easters, I would go to bed sick with food, waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, drinking a liter of 7-Up, finally sleeping through the night, getting up eyes swollen shut, promising myself that I would never do it again, only sometime that day to have my food back, and my face back in food. How does this happen? How does this compulsive eater on this phone today, recovered, feeling full of health and life, ready to take the day on. How do you explain there's a half a cake left in that refrigerator? My wife said, do you want me to take that to work? And I said, I didn't even think about it, and I'm protected by God. How do you explain that? I can't. I used to go to these weekend seminars on surrender. I would attend the weekend, ask questions, write copious amount of notes, feel good. By Monday morning, on the way to work, I'd bring a dozen donuts, eat those dozen donuts, and then have to replace them. But today,
time.
I am surrendered, and man, by the grace of God, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Larry. We have about 2 minutes if somebody would like to take a quick share. If not, we'll end early. Anybody?
Jordan L.
Okay, Jordan, go for it. Or 2 minutes.
Hi, this is Suzanne from Southern California.
No, we have Jordan L.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm here, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can, Jordan.
My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be on the meeting this morning. And I was just gonna mention prayer and how important it is in the beginning, especially talking about like the facts and results and all of that. I have to kind of refocus and take my eyes off of that stuff for a while. You know, I tend to be one of those people too. It's very results oriented and. I won't do things unless I see the results, you know? But the results here come slowly. They come slow. in my experience, they come a lot more slowly than other results in this world. I'm going to get much quicker results through other avenues. so it's important that I kind of take the focus off of results for a while. And there's something about prayer that centers me in the moment, so that I'm not thinking about results in the future. I'm not thinking about results from the past. I'm just here in this moment, thinking about right now, and being present and aware of the way I feel or the way I'm thinking right here and now, you know, and something about that presence, it helps me connect with God, you know, even when I'm new to this, even when I don't know that connection very well, you know. So anyway, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you very much, Jordan. That's perfect timing. And so thank you all for your shares and for those of you being on the line listening and for all those who gave service. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask, what do we got here? Laura R. to read from page 164. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. All right. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Okay.